Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We like hanging out with you, and we appreciate all the wonderful things that you guys are doing for your community. Hey, folks, just a little bit of information. The Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio and TUE Printing have a full complement of season's greetings cards. Go to our website, www.theunionedge.com, or go to our Facebook and Twitter. So that's a great way to get really cool union-made greeting cards. That's another story. Joining us today, we've got Doug Cunningham of Workers Independent News. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Good to be with you as always, man. And labor really is on the march out there today.
We are. As a matter of fact, we've got university professors at all the state schools that are out, and we have been talking to them today. And the long and short of it is the students were told to report by the administration. The students reported. There were no instructors inside the facility. So the students left, and they are now on the picket line.
There you go. Thanks, university, for beeping up those picket lines.
There you go.
Faculty.
Bringing coffee and donuts to professors. Really?
Yeah, there you go. It's strange how that happens, isn't it?
It
students
is.
Actually support their teachers, you know, and their faculty. Yeah, I mean, we're on that as well. I'm waiting to hear back from the union out there for a report that we're going to do for Workers Independent News about this, too. I mean, 14 state universities on strike, over 100,000 students. And, you know, as listeners to your program know and people that have been following Workers Independent News, we've spoken to the faculty leading up to this about the issues there. And one of the issues is they're trying to reduce adjunct professor salaries. Trying to cut back on that. And so, and this is the first strike, as I understand it, in the system's 34-year history. So,
right.
I mean, this is a big deal. And it's, you know, over 100,000 students, 5,000 faculty and coaches represented by this union, the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. So, as always, and no union wants to strike, and strike is always a last resort because they can't get a fair, good faith bargaining result at the bargaining table, and that's why they go out. And, you know, they resist these concessions, and that's happening not just with universities and professors. I mean, it's happening also, you know, with workers in the private sector in all kinds of different ways as they try to bargain and try to get a decent deal. And too often on the other side of the table, there's not only not any good faith bargaining, but there's a deliberate attempt to cut, and, you know, demand concessions and take backs, even in the case of the private sector, when there's profitable companies and making big profits at the time. So it's not something that unions love to do. It's not something they want to do. It's not something they set out to do. It's always a last resort because they can't get a fair deal.
Right. And oftentimes it's a difficulty that's placed on the workers' families because of this, because there's a reduced level of income. You know, and quite frankly, it's something that needs to be done. And that's why they're doing
it. Yeah, and you know, we have another strike going on. I'm also going to be in touch with them later today, Unite Here Local 26, 750 members of that union at the Harvard cafeterias are on strike there. And you know, that's hundreds of workers, and they're trying to get a decent salary, decent wage. They want to make at least $35,000 a year working for Harvard University. Harvard University, last time I checked, isn't hurting for an endowment. It's not hurting for money. And yet these striking dining hall workers are headed into this third or fourth week of the strike. And this is important. They went on strike, yes, October 5th, actually. And they're going to the Boston City Council today to take their fight there. And there's going to be a resolution of support offered by the council president there at the Boston City Council as these workers continue to press Harvard to step up and pay these workers a real living wage. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly what the cost of living is in Boston, but it can't be cheap.
No, it's not cheap. Quite frankly, the amount of money that the folks working there in the cafeteria are asking for is well below the national average. And quite frankly, Harvard has billions, that's with a B, billions of dollars in endowment. That university, God bless them, could run for a very, very long time without even having to charge students tuition.
Yeah, and they're planning, by the way, on Saturday, October 22nd, this coming Saturday, the workers are planning a major mobilization rally and march demonstration at the Cambridge Commons. That gets underway at 3 p.m. on October 22nd. As I understand it as well, the university is trying to bring in scabs, or may have already done so, to try to keep the cafeteria running. And instead of just sitting down and cutting a deal and paying them a decent wage, they've decided to go that route. So shame on you, Harvard. Get to the table. Get a good deal for your workers. $35,000 a year is not too much to ask in Boston. So
no, it's not.
Hope that shakes out in the workers' favor, because I think that's a righteous action that they're involved in. And there's another. This seems like strike report today, but the General Electric appliance part workers in Louisville, Kentucky, have overwhelmingly voted to authorize a strike, but not out yet on a strike. IUECWA local down there, representing 4,000 unionized workers at this Louisville manufacturing complex. And this company, even though the name is GE Electric Appliance Park, they are actually owned by a Chinese company now, a Chinese company that took over just this past summer, I believe. And so these workers are trying to, they're talking about salary levels, of course, but also scheduling and different things and seniority bumping and lots of other issues. So there's lots of, hundreds of workers there, and they've authorized the strike. They're still talking, though, I think, right now to the company.
Doug, let me get you, see if I can get you to digest this one. American workers are now becoming the third world scabs for China.
Yeah. This group is called the Haier Group, H-A-I-E-R. That's the name of the company, by the way, China-based. And they've been at it for 2 months there, Charles, at this GE facility, trying to get a deal. Progress on the talks hasn't really been disclosed. The details on the progress haven't been disclosed by either side, really, so far.
I think the American labor law should reflect the same types of things that Germany's and the United Kingdom's and other places. If you can't negotiate a fair contract with your American workers, you can't have a plant here.
There you go. Hey, I'd support. I'd sign on to that legislation in a heartbeat. You know, yeah. And your state, your U.S. Senate candidate there on the Democratic ticket, Katie Magetti, would probably sign on to that too. She's really been speaking out strongly for workers. And as I understand it, the polls show like pretty much a dead heat there in that Senate race between her and Toomey. And it's things like this. Okay, the way labor law is structured, the way the experience that workers are having, is a result to a great extent of the laws that exist. And these companies, Chinese or whatever, wherever they're based, they come into this country and they take advantage of our weak labor laws, quite frankly. And if you elected people to serve you at the state, local, and federal levels, not only in the White House, but, all the way down ballot in the Congress, the Senate, state legislatures, if you elect people who are pro-workers that aren't buying this nonsense, that believe in strong labor protections for American workers and American working families, all right, then a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen. We wouldn't have to be fighting all these battles constantly, because we'd have stronger labor laws. We would have laws passed in the interests of those who these politicians are supposed to represent, and that is the American working families in this country, because that's the majority in the country. Whether you call yourself a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, chances are your family and you are working for a living. And if you're working for a living in America, you deserve representation in politics at both the state, local, and national levels, all those levels. And that's what's happening. That's why we're so far behind the eight ball a lot of times on these fights and these struggles, because the law isn't on our side. The law isn't strong enough for us. It allows people to be exploited and taken advantage of and replaced if they go out on strike, And it shouldn't be that way. So
we'll
keep our eyes on all of these struggles and report to you here and also talk about them here on the Union Edge.
You know what the funny thing about that is, Doug? There are businesses out there that still complain, the playing field's tipped too far towards the employees.
Yeah, I would encourage people just to study that, folks.
Yeah, I mean, at what point in time will people like Donald Trump be happy? Oh, you have to work for me for free. No, you have to pay me for the privilege of working for me.
There you go. That's where it's headed, Yeah. That's where it's headed. Company housing, and we pay them to keep our jobs.
There you go.
that's where they really want things to be.
Yeah. Doug, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. And how do we find out more about you and Workers Independent News?
Yeah, go to our website, laborradio.org. Like us on Facebook. You can do that, too, because we're involved with social media. But check us out on laborradio.org and see the material that we put out. You can read stuff there. You can listen to things there. You can connect with our social media there and give us story ideas, too. So Workers Independent News, laborradio.org.
There you go, Doug. You're assuming again that I know how to read and write.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, I know it's a high bar, Charles, but, you know,
it's rough.
We'll get you there.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon. There was Doug Cunningham of Workers Independent News. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.